T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. And as he joins us each and every week, he is Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram. And he is so nice to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. I feel your excitement for the Combine.
I wasn't even trying to be sarcastic there. I am great, and I am excited to go to the Combine.
St. Elmo's, that's why you're excited.
Yeah, I might be there tonight.
There you go. It's my boy.
Scott, what are we looking for? What are the Browns going to find out here?
Well, you know, there's a lot going on. It's not just starting to get ready for the draft, which is, you know, the original reason for the Combine, and that'll be a big deal. All right, Andrew Berry will be out there. He'll be looking at all these offensive tackles that the Browns will consider number 10. And they have holes at safety and linebacker and maybe edge rusher. But it's also heading into free agency. I expect Andrew Berry to meet with Joe Schobert's agent, talk money, see if they might be able to get something done before he hits the open market. And then you have decisions to be made about Olivier Vernon, Christian Kirksey, Chris Hubbard, guys that are set to make good money in 2020, but probably won't be brought back at those salaries. Can they negotiate a restructuring, order the Browns, cut these guys, and let them become free agents before free agency even starts? So there's a lot going on this week.
Andy and I were just talking about this roster, and I think as Browns followers, we all have to be open to the idea of Andrew Berry tinkering with some things that we like. And the Odell Beckham reports coming out of New England that the Patriots have an interest, and one guy already has him listed on their roster for next season, which I absolutely love. My thought is, boy, I don't want to trade Odell Beckham. But I threw out, okay, you trade him to the Patriots, you get a first-rounder, and you somehow sign Amari Cooper in free agency. Well, all of a sudden, you're a better football team, right? So I think we have to be open to stuff.
I'd agree with that. I don't know if it will be anything that drastic. I think it'd be tough to deal Odell. I'm not sure that they'd get back the value that they would need to get back to deal him. I don't have any sense that they've given up on Odell. You know, we've heard Kevin Stefanski talk. We heard Jimmy Haslam talk a lot about Odell after the Andrew Berry news conference, saying he's expecting, a big production or something was a quote. So I think they'll keep Odell. But overall, I think you're right, Jeff. And while Jimmy Haslam says it's not a rebuild and he expects this team to progress to get to contention, when you have this change in the regime, you're going to have change on the roster. And it will probably be more significant than you or I would expect. And, you know, I can't say exactly what it'll be right now, but those guys I mentioned, Vernon and Kirksey and Hubbard, you know, Vernon and Hubbard were big signings by John Dorsey. And for Vernon, it'd be 1 year later. And for Hubbard, too. And all of a sudden, they could be gone. And you're looking at two key spots, right, in the trenches that now you have to address. And I think you can see that at a number of positions, even in tight end, right? I mean, David Njoku was a first-round pick of the Sashi regime, and all of a sudden I could see 2, 3, 4 new tight ends on this roster because Kevin Stefanski loves to use two tight ends, and I don't think the Browns got enough production from any of their guys.
We came up with eight guys on the team that I thought, if you move one of these guys, man, it better be huge, that I thought were basically untouchable. And it was the two wide receivers, Joel Bitonio, Nick Chubb and Baker, and then the two corners, Greedy and Denzel, and Myles Garrett. Other than that, Scott, if Andrew Berry wants to make a move and thinks he can make the team better, all right, well, let's see what he does. But to make a move with any of those other guys, as much as I like a lot of what John Dorsey did, and I do, you know Andrew Berry's going to mess with things a little bit because that's what a new GM does.
No, you're right, Jeff. And I think you could probably add J.C. Treader to that list.
Andy did that.
Beside him.
Yep, Andy. And
I think you can look at it two ways. Number one, I mean, what'd you name? 8 or 9 guys. And that's a pretty good step to having your team how you want it to look, right? So you got 22 starters. You got 10 of those guys. And then there's those fringe guys like a Mack Wilson who you think will come, you think he'll be a starter. I like Larry Ogunjobi a lot. You still have Sheldon Richardson. So all of a sudden you go, okay, you're up to 15 starters. That's pretty solid. Yet, I don't think the roster is as close as maybe we gave it credit last year. I still think it's borderline playoff roster, but is it where a lot of people thought would be last year, right? Heading into last year, has a chance to go to the Super Bowl, right? One of the AFC favorites. I think if you look at what happened last year, look at some of the guys that didn't leave in free agency that were letdowns, Demaryius Randall, all of a sudden you start to say, maybe they're not as close as we thought when they traded for Odell Beckham Jr., when they traded for Olivier Vernon. And it's just interesting how much your thought changes in a year. And I think on top of that is you bring in this new regime, new front office, new coaching staff, and they're just inclined to take a step back, right? Slow and steady, right? It's just a whole new approach as opposed to building on where they were in 2018. I think it's fair to say that, there's been a step taken back, and it's just not the same mindset going into 2020 as it was in 2019.
All right, so let me ask you this. When you look at the roster, okay, who are the leaders going into next year? Who's a guy that can stand up in the locker room and say, this is the way we are going to do things from the player's perspective? You got a new head coach in there. Someone's going to have to buy into his system. And as Jeff and I were talking about some of the guys that, might not be in the core moving forward. Who is going to be in the core? They need some veterans in there.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there, Andy. I would say you need it to be Baker Mayfield. Right? I mean, he needs to be your leader. He's a number one pick. He's your quarterback. Is he where he needs to be in that area? I would say no. And, even the back and forth on social media, the walking away from us as a media group last year, Baker's not isn't mature enough, and I think he showed that in year two. Now, guys gravitate toward him. I'm not going to argue with that at all, but I don't think he's the perfect leader you need out of your quarterback, and hopefully he takes a big step in year three, and I think that'll be a focus of Kevin Stefanski and the coordinator, Alex Van Pelt. But when you go outside of Baker, I mean, Jarvis is a leader to some degree. Again, I don't think he's a perfect leader. Joe Batonio is a leader, but he's not the most vocal guy. I'd say the same about Larry Ogunjobi. He does all the right things, but it takes a lot for him to stand in front of the room, and he did it at one point last year because he was so frustrated with the direction the team was going. And Nick Chubb's the same way. He does all the right things, but doesn't get in front of the room. So I think you can make a legitimate argument that there's a little bit of a vacuum there, and Baker would go a long way to solving that vacuum, and maybe the return of Myles Garrett, and maybe a Myles Garrett who's learned some things from all the stuff he went through at the end of last season. Maybe those two guys can step to the forefront like they should as former number one picks and supposedly two of the best players on the team.
Scott, I know this is going a long way back. When we talk about leadership, I think about the Duke Johnson incident in the beginning of the year with Baker Mayfield and how he kind of stepped on another player about not being there, but yet it was it was really weird ground for someone to be in who's going to be a leader on a football team. Is he going to be able to step up and be a guy that would back his teammates in certain situations, or a guy who's just going to be able to keep his mouth shut even if he doesn't like something?
Well, that's a great point. I don't know if Baker will ever get to the point where he does keep his mouth shut. And he did that ESPN interview at the Super Bowl, and he talked about being humbled and how it's not right to just respond to every critic. Well, I need to see that, right? I need to see Baker follow through with that, especially if he has any degree of success. Stick with that plan and don't suddenly revert to the guy that's chirping and the guy with, you know, antennae that he can hear all the criticism. I did not like how he handled that Duke Johnson thing. I thought Baker did do a good job during the season. I mean, there was a lot of distractions and a lot of drama, and you had the Freddie Kitchens issues, and you had getting the ball to Odell and getting the ball to Jarvis. And I thought Baker was frustrated by how everything was going and didn't feel he was supported enough by the coaching staff from a putting him in the right, in the best spots to succeed. I think he felt that way about the receiver some, right? Odell not running the right routes, not being able to practice. And I thought he did a good job not throwing Freddie or the receivers under the bus. So maybe you can see signs of maturing there. Maybe he just likes those guys. Maybe he knew I can't go attack those guys in public. But he needs to find that line where, yes, he wants to be liked by Odell and by Jarvis and, you know, those types of players, but he also needs to get the most out of them. And he talked a little bit last year about struggling to find that right path because he's a young guy and there were a lot of personalities, and hopefully he will take that growth in year three.
Should we be concerned that Andrew Berry hasn't made any significant hires that we know of, at least in the front office, and that he pretty much is going into this thing and into this draft like, okay, here we go. We're set. I don't need Highsmith. I don't need Wolf. I don't need a director of college scouting. I have scouts and I have me. We okay with that?
Well, not entirely. I'm not. I asked Andrew about that at his news conference. You know, are you going to hire somebody? It feels like there's a vacuum at the top of the personnel department. And he said no. He said that he thought there were enough talented people inside the personnel department. Since then, Ryan Grigson has come on is an advisory role. And I think that's noteworthy, right? He was a GM for years with the Colts. And mixed results. Went to the playoffs a bunch, drafted Andrew Luck, also traded for Trent Richardson. Also failed to build an offensive line that could protect Andrew Luck. But he, you know, Andrew Berry worked with Ryan Grigson with the Colts. They trust each other. I think that's an important hire. I don't think we should underestimate that hire because Andrew Berry can rely on him. Grigson's been the GM. He's made those difficult decisions inside a draft room. So to me, that's the biggest key addition. And I think Grigson will stay after the draft even. We don't know what that role will be, but he will have a role. But until then, he's this advisor, and I think he's going to be Barry's right-hand man. And it'll be interesting to see how they play off each other because, like I said, Grigson has that experience, but it wasn't a perfect experience.
They couldn't wait to get rid of him in Indianapolis.
Right. And I would like to see Berry hire a couple guys, but I think he feels there's just not enough time, and he's going to have to reassess that after the draft.
Scott, thank you very much. Always appreciate your time, and we'll always read your stuff on brownzone.com as well. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you
thank
soon.
Thank you, Scott.
And good luck at the combine.
And at St. Elmo's.
And at St. Elmo's.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.